While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. Healthcare algorithms that are systematically misdiagnosing Black patients at alarming rates. I'm looking at a study from last month showing diagnostic algorithms used by major hospital systems are 34% less likely to refer Black patients for specialized care compared to white patients with identical symptoms and test results.
Hold up, Alex. 34%? You're telling me we got machines out here doing the same racist triage that human doctors been doing for generations? This ain't progress. This is prejudice with better marketing. I'm getting that feeling in my chest. That hot, tight feeling when you realize the system isn't just broken, it's working exactly as designed.
That's what the data shows, Maya. These aren't fringe systems either. We're talking about tools used by over 200 hospitals nationwide to determine everything from kidney function to cancer risk to pregnancy complications. The researchers found the algorithms were trained primarily on data from wealthier, whiter patient populations, so they literally don't recognize patterns of illness in diverse bodies.
So let me get this straight. These companies collected data from communities that already had better access to healthcare, built their fancy AI on that skewed foundation, and now they're rolling it out to decide who gets care in communities that were excluded from the training data in the first place? That's not a glitch. That's a feature. That's digital redlining.
Exactly. And joining us now is patient Rosa, who experienced this firsthand. Rosa, thank you for coming on. Can you tell us what happened? Thank you for having me. It started with persistent pain in my abdomen, sharp, debilitating. I went to my local hospital, they ran tests, and their algorithm flagged me as low risk for serious conditions. The doctor basically told me to take ibuprofen and follow up in a month. But the pain kept getting worse. I couldn't sleep, couldn't work. I went back twice more. Same algorithm, same low risk classification. Meanwhile, my white coworker went in with similar symptoms and got immediate specialist referral.
I'm so sorry, Rosa. How long did this go on?
3 months of escalating pain before I finally drove 2 hours to a community health center that didn't use these algorithms. The doctor there took one look at my chart and ordered immediate imaging. Turned out I had stage 2 ovarian cancer that had been growing undetected while their smart system kept telling doctors I was fine. My God, and the research backs this up. The Science article we referenced shows these diagnostic tools consistently underestimate disease severity in Black and brown patients. Rosa, what was going through your mind during those months? Honestly, I started doubting myself. The system kept telling me I was fine, so I thought maybe I was being dramatic, maybe the pain wasn't that bad. That's the insidious part, when technology validates medical gaslighting. It gives bias this veneer of objectivity. The computer says your low risk carries more weight than I think you're fine.
That makes me so angry I could spit! Excuse my language, but this is exactly why we can't just automate our way out of human problems. You had cancer growing inside you while some algorithm built by people who never met you decided your pain wasn't urgent enough. That's not artificial intelligence, that's artificial indifference.
And joining us to explain how this happens is Advocate Amara, who worked inside one of these healthcare AI companies before blowing the whistle. Amara, welcome. What did you see inside these companies that allows this to happen? Thank you for having me. I was a senior data scientist at Health Predict for 4 years. The problem starts with what we call garbage in, garbage out. But it's more insidious than that. We were building predictive models for hospital readmissions, and our training data came from insurance claims. Well, guess what? Communities of color are systematically underinsured and less likely to seek care until conditions are advanced. So our models learned that their patterns of care seeking indicated lower risk. We were literally punishing people for having less access.
So the algorithm learned that if you can't afford to go to the doctor until you're real sick, you must not get that sick. That's like saying if you can't afford a fire department, you must not have many fires.
Exactly. And when I raised concerns, management told me the data is the data, and we're building for the majority use case. But there is no majority when it comes to human health. We were building tools that worked well for affluent white patients and dangerously poorly for everyone else. When I pushed for more diverse training data, I was told it was too expensive and would reduce overall accuracy. That phrase, reduce overall accuracy, what does that actually mean in practice? It means that if you optimize for the average patient and your data is mostly from white patients, then making the model more accurate for black patients might make it slightly less accurate for white patients. So companies make the business decision to sacrifice accuracy for marginalized groups to maintain higher accuracy for privileged groups. They're literally trading our health for their metrics.
Oh, hell no. So they're saying our lives are acceptable collateral damage? Our pain is an acceptable margin of error? I'm sorry, but that's not a technical problem. That's an ethical catastrophe. That's saying some people's health matters more than others.
Hearing this makes so much sense of my experience. The system wasn't just failing me. It was designed to prioritize others over me. And what's terrifying is most doctors don't even know this bias is baked in. They trust these tools like they're neutral scientific instruments. And this pattern extends far beyond healthcare. We're seeing the same algorithmic bias in criminal justice. Predictive policing tools that systematically over-police black and brown neighborhoods because they're trained on historical arrest data from over-policed communities. It's a feedback loop of injustice.
So the algorithms learn that more police in certain neighborhoods leads to more arrests. So they recommend more police in those neighborhoods? That's not prediction, that's prescription. That's creating the very reality it claims to detect.
And I've seen the same in employment algorithms. One major hiring platform I consulted for was rejecting resumes that mentioned Black Student Union, or MLACP, because their model learned from historical hiring data that those candidates were less likely to be hired. So rather than fixing discriminatory hiring practices, they automated them. It's the same story everywhere. Technology amplifying existing inequalities while pretending to be objective. In healthcare, in policing, in jobs, it's like they took all our historical injustices and gave them software updates. Let's talk about the regulatory landscape. Amara, from your insider perspective, why aren't existing regulations catching this? Most regulations focus on whether algorithms are accurate on average, not whether they're equitable across groups. The FDA might approve a diagnostic algorithm that's 90% accurate overall, even if it's only 70% accurate for black patients and 95% for white patients. That overall accuracy mask hides devastating disparities.
So we're back to that majority use case nonsense. When they say people, they mean white people. When they say accurate, they mean for white people. Our lives become statistical noise. Our pain becomes acceptable error margins. I'm tired of being someone else's margin of error.
The research from assessing regulatory fairness through machine learning shows exactly this, that our current regulatory frameworks are completely unequipped to detect, let alone prevent, these types of algorithmic discrimination. They're looking for technical bugs when they should be looking for justice bugs. And patients like me pay the price. I lost 3 critical months in my cancer treatment because of this. My prognosis would be significantly better if I'd been diagnosed when I first sought care. This isn't abstract, this is life and death. What's particularly insidious is that companies position these tools as cost-saving measures. They tell hospitals, our AI will help you allocate resources more efficiently. But efficient for whom? When you're efficiently denying care to marginalized communities, that's not efficiency, that's rationing by algorithm. That's eugenics with a Silicon Valley sheen.
They're using the language of innovation to disguise ancient patterns of exclusion. Machine learning sounds so much better than we don't value certain lives as much as others. But that's exactly what's happening. And let's be clear, this isn't about bad intentions necessarily. It's about systems designed without our voices, without our bodies in mind, then imposed on us as if they're neutral.
So what's the way forward? We've identified the problem across multiple sectors: healthcare, criminal justice, employment. How do we build accountability? First, we need algorithmic transparency laws that require companies to disclose not just overall accuracy, but accuracy broken down by race, gender, income, disability status. Second, we need diverse teams building these systems. And I don't mean one token person, I mean meaningful representation at every level. Third, we need community review boards with veto power over deployment of these tools in public systems.
And we need to center the people most affected. Rosa shouldn't have had to go through what she went through for us to have this conversation. We need patients, formerly incarcerated people, workers who've been screened out by hiring algorithms. We need them in the room when these systems are designed, tested, and regulated. Nothing about us without us.
Exactly. And we need to educate both providers and patients. Doctors need to understand these tools have biases, and patients need to know they can question algorithmic recommendations. We need to reclaim our authority over our own bodies and experiences. We're also seeing promising research from the Fairness Pruning Study, techniques that can actually remove bias from existing algorithms without sacrificing overall accuracy. So the technical solutions are emerging, but they require political will to implement.
But let's not get trapped in technical solutionism. The problem isn't just the code, it's the power dynamics. It's who gets to build, who gets to decide, who gets to profit. We can't debug our way out of structural inequality. We need policy. We need regulation. We need community control.
And we need to follow the money. These algorithms aren't just technical artifacts, they're business models. Health Predict made $200 million last year selling hospitals tools that systematically underestimate illness in Black patients. That's not a bug, that's their revenue stream. We need to make discrimination unprofitable. For me, this is about changing the fundamental question. Instead of how can we make healthcare more efficient, we should be asking, how can we make healthcare more just? Instead of how can we reduce crime, we should ask, how can we create safety and dignity for all communities? The algorithms will follow the questions we ask. That's powerful, Rosa. We're seeing this pattern across every sector we've investigated. The tension between efficiency and equity, between profit and justice, and consistently, the systems are designed to prioritize the former at the expense of the latter.
Because efficiency is measurable and justice is messy. You can put efficiency on a spreadsheet. You can take it to shareholders. Justice requires relationship, requires context, requires acknowledging historical harm. It's easier to build a system that ignores all that and calls it objective.
And that's why we need what I call algorithmic affirmative action. Not just removing bias, but actively designing systems that correct for historical disadvantage. If an algorithm knows you come from a neighborhood that's been systematically denied healthcare access, it should weight your symptoms differently, not penalize you for your zip code. But ultimately, we need human oversight. No algorithm should have the final say over who gets care, who gets hired, who gets housing. These should be decision support tools, not decision replacement tools. The human in the loop has to have the power and responsibility to say the algorithm is wrong here. And we're seeing some promising legislation at the city level. New York just passed the first algorithmic accountability law requiring bias audits for hiring tools. Similar efforts are underway in California and Illinois. But we need federal standards.
And we need to connect these dots across sectors. The same company making biased healthcare algorithms might be making biased policing algorithms. We need to see this as the interconnected system of automated injustice that it is. Our movements need to be as connected as their technologies.
The research is clear. In the conversational AI and equity study, even our most advanced language models show systematic bias in how they communicate with different groups. This isn't a problem we can solve sector by sector. It's a fundamental flaw in how we're building AI across the board. And we need to recognize that this isn't just about race. As a Latina woman with a disability, I experience multiple overlapping biases in these systems. The algorithms might be biased against me as a woman, as a person of color, as a disabled person, and those biases compound in ways the designers never anticipated. That intersectional analysis is crucial. The studies typically look at one dimension of bias at a time, But real people experience these systems through multiple identities simultaneously.
Which is why we need those affected in the design process. You can't model intersectionality from a spreadsheet in Silicon Valley. You need the lived experience of people navigating these overlapping systems of oppression. Our bodies are the ultimate testing ground for these technologies, so our voices should be the ultimate authority on their impact.
And we need to move beyond the fiction of technological neutrality. There's no such thing as a neutral algorithm. They all embed the values and priorities of their creators. The question isn't whether they're biased, but whose biases they encode and who they harm. For me, the most important thing is remembering that behind every data point is a human being. My low-risk classification wasn't just a statistical error. It was 3 months of terror. It was cancer spreading through my body. It was financial ruin from medical bills. We can't let these systems dehumanize us. So where does that leave us as we look across these different sectors racing toward automation? What's the path forward?
We need what I call community-centered accountability. That means the people most affected by these systems need to have real power over them. Not just consultation, not just feedback, but governance. We need community control of data, community review of algorithms, community ability to shut down harmful systems.
And we need to redefine success. Right now, success means profit and scale. We need to redefine it as justice and equity. An algorithm that's 95% accurate for white people and 70% accurate for black people is a failure, no matter what the overall accuracy says. And we need healing-centered approaches. The harm these systems cause is real and lasting. We need resources for people like me who've been harmed. We need truth and reconciliation processes. We need repair. The evidence from across all these sectors points to the same conclusion. We can't automate our way out of social problems without addressing the social inequalities first. The technology will reflect and amplify whatever society we build.
So the work isn't just about fixing algorithms, it's about fixing power. It's about who decides, who benefits, who bears the cost. And that means organizing, it means protesting, it means building collective power. The civil rights movement didn't end with better signage on segregated facilities. It ended segregation. We need that same ambition for the algorithmic age.
And for those inside the industry, like I was, we have a responsibility to speak up, to organize, to refuse to build harmful systems. The whistleblower protections need to be stronger, but we also need ethical courage. And for those of us on the receiving end, we need to know our rights. We need to tell our stories. We need to demand better. My survival depended on finding a clinic that still practiced medicine the old-fashioned way, with human judgment and compassion. We can't let that become a luxury good. So the dimension derby across society shows us that whether we're talking healthcare, criminal justice, employment, housing, or finance, the same patterns of algorithmic bias are reproducing historical inequalities at digital speed. But the solutions are emerging too, from technical fixes like fairness pruning to political solutions like community control.
And we're building the movement. From the Algorithmic Justice League to community data cooperatives to worker organizing in tech, we're building power across sectors. This isn't just about making better technology, it's about building a better world.
And the research is increasingly on our side. Studies like implementing medical imaging AI are starting to document these harms systematically. We have the evidence. Now we need the will to act on it. And we have our humanity. No algorithm can measure our dignity, our resilience, our right to exist and thrive. That's what we're fighting for. Thank you all for this crucial conversation. The race for justice across society continues, but with voices like these leading the way, I'm hopeful we can build systems worthy of all our humanity.